and my best friends will sit in the living room for 7 hours, all yell out an NFL player and somebody yell out what college he went to. 7 hours, that's all we do. I'm like, Brady Quinn. And somebody's like, yes!
Jeremy White.
Ryan Leaf.
Let's go!
And Joe DiBiase.
Eric Decker.
Let's go!
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Ryan Mallett. Arkansas. You know the game we play? We had our fantasy draft weekend last weekend. The game we played was we were all sitting around the fire, and someone would say a team, and then you had to go around the circle and name a quarterback from that team until there were no quarterbacks left and no one could do it. And whoever was the last person that could say a quarterback from that team won.
That had played for them?
That had played for that team.
I'll play that game right now.
All right. Well, I should pick a team that I didn't
pick a team
with already.
Or Josh pick a team. Somebody pick a team. Or we could do that college quarterback game. Or just not necessarily quarterback.
What's a good team here? What's a good team here? Tampa.
Kyle Trask.
Good.
Keep the music. Let's go. What do you got?
Yeah. It's stupid, but Baker Mayfield.
Counts, yeah. I mean, this is stupid.
That's fine. You got to get the easy ones out of the way early. Tom Brady.
Jameis Winston. I like in these games, you like load one in your head.
Yes.
And then you also load later
Winston
one.
Jameis Winston was loaded into my head.
Okay,
so
well,
you got to have a backup because you're going to get sniped. Josh?
I'm drawing a blank.
Okay.
Brad Johnson.
Steve Young.
Good. Josh Freeman.
Trent Dilfer.
See, he's already got it loaded here. And then I don't have time to load mine because he's already going.
I've got another one ready. I got two.
Byron Leftwich.
Brad Johnson.
I said Brad Johnson.
Oh, you did. I'm sorry. Jeff Garcia. That's the problem. You're so busy loading your own in your head, you forget to get the next one. You forget to listen.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Wearing those alarm clock Bucks uniforms.
Okay. Who do I want next? The Bucks of all teams, the Bucks.
Isn't there a guy?
Vinny Testaverde.
Was he a Buck?
Yeah.
The Creamsicles, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. Was there a guy between Mayfield and Wentz and Brady? No. It was Brady right to Mayfield, I think.
I think that's right.
That was only last year. Am I out?
I'm already out. You did win.
You did, yeah, because you did repeat Brad Johnson.
Now let's name the colleges they all went to. Byron Leftwich.
Marshall.
Correct.
I've seen one clip of him in college ever. It's him getting carried up the field.
Yeah. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That is of Harvard, of course.
That one we know.
Yeah. Mayfield.
Oklahoma.
And
Texas?
Texas Tech.
Tech.
Him and Mahomes, same team. And Cliff Kingsbury still couldn't win more games than he lost.
Baker Mayfield, better college player than Mahomes? He won the Heisman.
Yeah. Yes, I believe he was a better college player than Patrick Mahomes
was. I think it's safe to say.
Yeah.
Anyway, hi everybody. Jeremy and Joe, good Wednesday morning. We've got 53-man roster to chat about, some moves to chat about. Plenty more to get to as well. We'll talk with Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast at 7:30. Sal updates us at 8. Maybe there's more moves by then. And Ben Fisher of the Sports Business Journal at 9 on private equity in the NFL.
Also kind of a new quarterback to talk about a little bit.
Mike White. See, I was ready to talk about Jameis Winston, who came up in that game. Because I saw Josh Reed, Channel 4, ask, how would Bills Mafia feel about Jameis Winston as the backup quarterback?
Uh-huh.
And my answer to that is, I couldn't think of a better one.
I don't think you can do better than him.
No, you probably can't.
In the league. And that's because the Browns, by the way, they have four quarterbacks on their active roster.
Four quarterbacks.
And Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com said the Browns will field offers for both Winston and Tyler Huntley.
Maybe Tyler Huntley's the better answer here. Maybe.
He'd probably be cheaper, right?
Probably, and I wonder if I want a mobile quarterback for what the Bills are going to do, and Jameis Winston, of course, is not that.
No.
Winston is a little bit of the Josh Allen in him, where it's like, I'm just going to chuck that ball down there and see what happens.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
You know, these guys are guys that throw picks, but it'll take chances. You want somebody to throw the ball? put Jameis Winston in.
Oh, man, he'll throw
He's going to throw everywhere.
On the field. He threw a touchdown to the opposite side of the field last year.
Last year, yeah.
Last year, he maybe had 10 attempts, and like five of them were like, oh, my God, Jameis is playing.
Hang on, there's a former stat of the year that I don't know if you were here for about Jameis Winston and his brief time with the Saints. I got to get this piece of paper off the wall.
Yeah, I was going to say, he only started 10 games over 4 years. For the Saints. So and, of course, the last full year he played was 5,100 yards, 33 touchdowns, and 30 picks.
Where is it? It's got to be. I thought it was up here for stat of the year. It doesn't appear to be. Oh, yeah, okay. Stat of the year for 2021.
Okay.
On September 16, 2021 is when we found this stat. So we're almost coming up on the three-year anniversary of discovering this.
Mm-hmm.
Jameis Winston threw a touchdown pass week one for the Saints that traveled 50 yards in the air. All right.
Okay.
This is week one of 2021.
Okay.
Drew Brees attempted 9,421 passes in New Orleans and never had one travel that far.
That's amazing.
How about that?
That is amazing.
9,421 passes. Not once. Jameis Winston, week one.
First game.
Uncorks for 50.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's the best backup you can get.
Yeah.
Wing it.
All right. He is not. Hey, just take care of the football, keep things on track. Like, Winston is going, if someone trades for him, if the Bills were to trade for Jameis Winston and something were to happen to Allen and Winston's got to play a game or two, he is coming in there and he's trying to be Josh Allen.
Yeah, probably.
Right? He's like, oh, I can make all these throws. Isn't he not that bad, probably, also?
I think he's not that bad. He passed for 5,000 yards, especially if you are in the camp of, interceptions are overrated and don't matter that much. I mean, we live that life because everyone says Josh Allen throws too many interceptions. And some fans, you know, latch on to that. And others, I mean, myself included, would say, meh, context. You know, if he throws a 40 yards down the field on an arm punt, it's not the same. It's just flat out not the same as whoever you want to. Daniel Jones throwing a pick six at the two. Right. Those two interceptions are not created equally. So Jameis, I mean, it's not going to happen. Mike White is on the practice squad. This is where I tell you, if Allen got hurt, who would start the game after? Trubisky or Mike White, if they're both healthy? And I might say it's Mike White because my new hypothesis about the league is that your third quarterback, Mike White's going to get more reps than Mitch Trubisky. Is he not? Isn't he going to run scout team kind of stuff?
Yeah.
So
he also... Like, this is not Shane Buechel. This is not, you know, this isn't the fourth string guy that got cut from another team. This was the Dolphins' backup that they had a younger guy that developed over a couple of years that they finally said, all right, Skylar Thompson, like, you're ready to be your number two. But Mike White has done fine, right, in limited action? Among Jets backup quarterbacks, like, we've seen worse than White.
He threw four. Did he throw four touchdowns in a game and got crowned?
I think so.
And then immediately that was over when Matt Milano folded him in half.
Yes, he did do that.
To me, Mike White.
The Bills didn't have a problem with him.
Career highlight is getting broken in half by Matt Milano.
Yeah. I think if I know, the little I know about him is that he's willing to uncork it a little bit. Maybe, you know, in a Winston-esque version of a backup more than Trubisky. He started three games in 2021. That first game, this was the one. The first game he played, 37 of 45 for 405 yards, three touchdowns, and two picks.
Boy.
That was his first career start.
Thank goodness that was not during the Bills' drought when we begged for a 300-yard passer and Mike White walks in and throws for 400.
Right. Yeah, 400. First game. And then he did the Bills game, 24 of 44, 251 yards, and four interceptions. No touchdowns. The next year, first start of that year, 22 of 28, 315 yards and three touchdowns. They had 14 yards per attempt in that one. And then, again, kind of tapered off. So each time he's played, he's had like one incredible start and then a couple of bad games after that.
No.
But, all right.
Newest Bills practice squad member. We'll likely get a lot of the practice squad today. Throughout the morning and afternoon as the Bills fill out their practice squad and teams around the league fill out their practice squad. We know that they want to keep a number of guys. Their roster is complete, in finger quotes. I've got one theory on the roster that you tell me. This might be a little bit romantic about one decision they made. That's on Joe Andreessen.
Mm-hmm.
He made the team.
Yeah, he made the team.
Don't the Bills, in having a conversation about him making the team, isn't the conversation, listen, we can't have this guy make the team for a day. It would look bad. It would be wrong. The community is celebrating. Lancaster High School is celebrating.
Yeah.
And I don't think they would do that with him. And I know it's a cutthroat business, but I'm not always convinced that the Bills are as cutthroaty as they need to be. I'm not saying he was given a spot at all. I'm saying they would have had a little more discussion about, are we sure about this? You know, like, isn't there going to be a Beyond Blue and Red in a week or two where McDermott or somebody's talking to Joe Andreessen saying, like, the real work starts now. Here you go, young man, you made this team. I think he made the team. And in order to get cut and moved on from in a week or a day, some other position would have to come open that's so good that they cut a linebacker, and I just don't think that's going to happen. Their mix of players, how open to shuffling is it? This kind of gets to a point about the receivers, where if you want to trade for Noah Brown, or you want to pick up Noah Brown, mm-hmm. or you want to pick up Isaiah Hodgins, they would have to cut another receiver, and I don't know that they are willing to do it. You might say, well, they could cut from another position. I think they want five receivers, just like they did last year. Mm-hmm. And the other guys
with guys on the practice squad.
Practice squad.
Yeah.
So the position breakdown, the numbers of the positions, I'm sure there's some adaptation in there. I'm sure there's some malleability to it. But one of the thoughts I've got on the roster is, I know he might be the 53rd guy on the roster, but I think they would have had a conversation about it. We don't want this guy to make the roster for 24 hours.
Yeah. Do we also know that he would even be the 53rd man on the roster?
No.
Like, he could be one of their immediate backups.
That's right, and there's probably no such thing as a true 53rd man because position dependent, right? Isn't the punter the 53rd man, but you need that guy? And
sure. Your
backup linebacker is 50th. You need three guys that are specialists, kicker, punter, long snapper.
Right.
And if an injury happens in another position, somebody's got to go. So I don't know who is the bottom five guys on the roster. Baylen Specter, is he ahead of Baylen Specter? Probably not. Is he ahead of, you know, keep going on who is MVS?
Eddie Ilufocio, right?
Yeah, is MVS player number 50?
All right.
He could be.
Yeah, he might be. I mean, they can't really do much more cutting at the receiver position, though, right?
No, like, no, that's right.
That's another thing. Like, where are you deepest? And do they feel like they're deepest at linebacker? Is that a position where, like, hey, if we got to make a spot, let's do it here because all we're deep. I don't know what that position is, though, right now. Is that
right,
on the defensive line?
And there's deep in numbers and deep in talent, and those two things are not the same either. Right? Would they trim a lineman in order to pick up somebody else?
Yeah. Yeah, that could be right.
So anyway, it might just be a little romantic on Joe Andreessen. I think he made the team, and I think a conversation would have been had that isn't had about other players of, we don't want to do this for 24 hours. And if he's on the team, he's on the team.
Yeah. Yep, that makes sense to me.
But I'm ready to be wrong on that. It would just be really disappointing. And, you know, that also might be, okay, I'll draw a comparison here. This might be a little bit like DeMar Hamlin, mm-hmm. where Hamlin had to earn his spot,
mm-hmm.
and he did, and he's still on the team. And for a while there, he was only playing kickoff and only playing special teams,
yeah.
and goes in as a backup. I'm also thinking, if you will let me go this far back, and I know Andreessen is not the same scenario. I'm talking about just special circumstances where a cut is not just a cut. And I think Andreessen making the team means a cut's not just a cut. But again, like I said, it might be a little romantic there. When Kevin Everett was released, like that was you knew his career was going to be over, but when the Bills decide to make that thing, it's a press conference like, hey, we're making injury settlement, we have to do this,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah. It's not the same as just anybody leaving the team. And for Andreessen, that will wear off soon enough, and whatever. If he's on the Bills for 5 years, great. If he is cut in week two, okay. I'm just like, I'm over here nervous about it. I hope that whatever
they don't. Oh, you think they could?
I don't know. I just like the story.
I feel like your theory about You don't do that after 24 hours. Just, I mean, the whole...
That's my theory.
Everyone is celebrating about it. I'm seeing the pictures on social media floating around about him from, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
In the tailgate parking lot wearing a Matt Milano jersey, and 2 years later, he's on the Bills.
Yep.
Like, the story is incredible.
It is incredible, and I guess where it lands for me is I'm allowing myself to think he's on the team. I don't think they would do the thing where he's cut 2 days later. I just don't think they would do it with him.
Yeah.
And that makes it sound like special treatment, and that is what I'm saying on some level, but not that he didn't earn it in any way. He definitely earned it.
Yeah.
It's just a, let's make sure. Are we sure? We're sure. All right. And I heard Sal talking about this yesterday. Like, are there any linebackers out there that got cut loose that they feel like, you know, he'd be the guy to go in instead of Joe Andreessen? I just don't think so. He showed enough. He showed enough, and he's on the team. So there's one of your takeaways on the 53. Good for Joe Andreessen. Great story. Happy about it.
Yeah. It is you win our receiver bet. That's one of my takeaways. It did end up being no big surprises, right? Everybody you thought two months ago, that guy's probably going to make the team. Those are the guys that made the team.
Yep. MVS is the story here is probably MVS because we made a receiver bet. I bet that they won't. I gave you a list of six receivers and they would not cut one.
All right.
And they didn't. They fielded five, and the guy that didn't make it was Claypool, who's hurt, is not out for the year.
Right.
But everybody else made it. Was there a true competition for MVS's spot?
See, that's
debatable.
That's one thing I thought yesterday was, you know, we're training camp is a whole big thing, right? And the spring, even before that, if you want the OTAs and the mini camp, and then there's the preseason. It's this long, long buildup to the start of the year. And that receiver list comes out, and not even this is necessarily the worst thing in the world, a bad thing, but I did think, like, what were we doing? What were we doing with all this? Why was Xavier Johnson and KJ Hamler and Brian Thompson and Lawrence Keys and Tyrell Shavers, like, what were they really doing? What were they really fighting for? Was there anything ever to fight for? Because Marquez Valdes-Scantling, to my eyes at least, didn't do much of anything other than be Marquez Valdes-Scantling to make the roster. But there he is. He's on the roster.
He's on the roster.
He's even injured, and he's on the roster. Sounds like he'll be back, but I don't know. Like, what? Right, was there a real competition at receiver? I don't know. Like, it depends, too, because part of the equation is, do you think you can get Tyrell Shavers back on the practice squad? You can elevate him and play him from there, and then you get to keep six guys instead of keeping five guys that you like. So there's a different equation to it, but if it was a true competition, I don't know. Did MVS win a true competition, or did he win it by default, by being who he is?
I think he won it by default, being who he is, being a veteran, and being someone that is good at whatever, playing with MVP quarterbacks. I mean, by good at, I mean getting close he's done it, right? He played with Mahomes. They signed MVS to 3 years and $30 million in Kansas City and then moved on because he caught a big pass against the Bills and won a Super Bowl, but
he was like, why did they let that go? Because he was starting for them all year long and they were searching for receivers that could help that offense, and he caught 20 passes.
Yeah.
He was on the field all year long with Patrick Mahomes on the field running routes, and he had caught 20 balls.
He is best known for being consistent at dropping the football.
Yeah.
He has, I just looked quickly up, like, MVS drops, and there's highlight reels of six passes of 30 yards or more that are just flat drops. Like, if you're mad at Diggs for the playoff drop, like, they've got a receiver now that does that routinely. It is his consistent trait to drop the ball. So, I don't know. We'll see how it works out. He's close with the quarterback. It seems like he got invited over to his house and as part of the process about, like, bringing him along. When they mic'd him up, the two were buddy-buddy. Okay, that's fine. MVS over Shavers. Right. They guaranteed
and he's the fifth receiver on the roster.
That's right.
So, like,
that's
how
right.
much is he even going to play? He might, well, you know, he played a little bit in week one, although I guess he's one of the injured guys that'll be working his way back. So, yeah, like, what is he going to end up playing at the end of the day anyway? Is he going to play 10 snaps a game?
Yeah, if that.
He's fifth. He's not playing over Matt Collins, right?
Nope.
I don't think he's not playing over Keon Coleman.
Nope.
If he catches seven passes all year and five of them are deep balls, I feel like that's a good result.
Yeah. 803-0550. I'm a 53, which is, you know, we've got it to a degree. Other surprises? I mean, it's a surprise the Bills and Jets traded. That doesn't
happen. Yeah, how about
that? A late pick swap, seventh-round pick swap for a kick returner. Who was he the best kick returner on the new format of the year?
In the preseason?
Yeah. He had two decent returns. He forced two missed tackles per return by the average. I saw Ryan Talbot had some of the stats on this. Like 15 forced missed tackles on 8 returns. So, which is interesting about the new kickoff rule. Here are the Bills. They see that and they like that. And you did it for the Jets. And the Jets say, sure, you can have him for literally nothing. A late pick swap.
Right.
Interesting.
That might end up being nothing because it's basically if you're higher, then that's the only way you get it.
Right. And if the two teams finish with the same... Right, they must... I should look up which picks they swapped because you don't know your draft order in the seventh round yet.
That's why I wonder. Like, is it an option? It's like, hey, we'll swap. You get the higher of the two. So if you end up higher than us, then we don't end up swapping. I don't know how that ends up working, but yeah, no surprise because I thought going into yesterday that Daquan Hardy was like on this team for sure, that he had done enough in the return battle to win that, and corner wise, like I had some of the numbers yesterday that he was targeted 10 times in the preseason and only gave up 2 receptions for like 10 yards, and had been playing on the outside, which he didn't do a lot of in college. So corner he looked good, it seemed, and return wise it seemed like he did well enough to win the job, and just nope, this new guy in the building that wasn't in before.
Maybe you got halfway through the headline, Bills trade for Brandon, and got excited, Brandon Cotterington,
yep.
Defensive back and kick returner. Yeah, the highlights are for kick return, it's possible they picked him up because of his defensive back skills, maybe. Like, you know, if you get good numbers there, and they want more depth at that position, their corners are good, though, so, I don't know, like, the shocks... There's no big, big, big shocks. The biggest ones would be Shavers and Daquan Hardy, probably. Just those two.
Yep.
And after that, you know.
After that, the story is the Joe Andreessen. If you told me 2 months ago that he has a shot at making the roster, I would have said no, just no chance.
Not just 2 months ago. If you told me during the first preseason game,
yeah,
where it was as he hit the field against the Bears, the tone around it was a little bit of like, wow, really nice for a kid like this to get a chance to, you know,
yeah,
to wear this team's uniform. Like it was not quite charity, but the tone of it had that feel.
Right.
And then 2 games later, he's on the team.
He's on the team. It really is insane.
He showed a lot.
That he's on the team. He wasn't even under contract when they showed up to rookie minicamp.
Right.
He wasn't even under contract.
So cool for him. Awesome for him. And he was a ton of fun to watch in that Steeler game. And, you know, maybe he's pressed into duty on special teams. I saw, forget who mentioned this, might have been Chris Trapasso, might have been you, I don't know, that the Niners kept 6 linebackers. And the thought is the new special teams format is leading teams to lean more linebacker. The new kickoff return. You might see more linebackers employed because that's the speed and size and tackle type you want. Is you want guys that are fast, but guys that are also strong and big, so linebackers are the place to land on the new kick format. So, you know, I don't know if he helps there or what he does, but hey, good for him. Really, really good for him.
How about UB out here being like a Bills defense factory, by the way? They have 3 players from UB on their defense.
They have a number of players that are in the league and made starting rosters as well, not just the Bills.
Yeah.
I saw the tweet yesterday from John Fuller. Let me pull it up here. So Khalil Mack.
Yep.
Jarrett Patterson still in the league.
Yep.
He's with the Chargers. I may have placed a waiver claim on him. Got him in the league because, you know, the Chargers backfield after J.K. Dobbins. I mean, Gus Edwards is their starter.
None of them are really that solid, I don't think.
So Jarrett Patterson made that team.
Yeah.
Malcolm Kuntz with the Raiders.
Okay.
The 3 Bills. Cam Lewis, Jamarcus Ingram, Joe Andreessen. Not a surprise Jamarcus Ingram made this team. I thought he'd been great at camp.
Right, yep.
Coyote Awosika at Lions camp and KJ Osborne with the Patriots.
Okay.
So those are your UB players to make 53-man roster. So good for UB.
Yeah. And they open, tomorrow. They open tomorrow. 34 games in college football tomorrow, by the way.
Let's go.
Division I. Those are a lot of the Leipold recruits, I'm betting, right?
Yeah.
Lance Leipold. Okay.
That's a good question. I mean, depending on...
I'm just guessing. I'm just guessing.
Transfer portaled out.
Yeah.
803-0550 is our phone number on, you know, the roster, if you like it. And where the Bills stand going into the season. We are 8 days away from the NFL season opener. That'll be a week from tomorrow. Josh Allen ranked the most overrated quarterback by the players. I saw that,
yep,
that tweet hit the internet today. He was also ranked the fourth best and also ranked the biggest trash talker.
Yes, that was added to that.
That's good stuff. So, you know, we've got plenty to get to. 803-0550 to join us. 1-888-550-2550.
There's some receiver options maybe out there too. Just saying.
I'm just gonna get triggered about, like, whoa.
There's like two guys that are interesting. A third guy that some people think
I found this quarter on the ground. If I take this quarter to the casino, that might become $20 million.
It has happened.
It has happened.
Someone's had that happen. You pick up a quarter off the ground, you go to the slot machine, you pull it, bam, winner.
Not you, because you don't pick up quarters off the ground.
That's right. I wouldn't do that. I've never had that happen. If there was a Venmo on the ground, I would pick it up, but not a quarter.
Wes Welker. I'm looking at the 30 best undrafted free agent players of all time. I've got Wes Welker, at receiver for this conversation.
Wasn't Antonio Brown undrafted?
I was going to say Antonio Brown.
There you go. Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
You can get one of those once in a while.
Famously, everything went perfectly for him.
He's probably going to the Hall of Fame.
Rod Smith.
Okay, there you go.
Broncos tight end. He was good.
I'm just saying that Noah Brown guy in Houston, I think he might be pretty good.
I don't dislike Noah Brown. I'm here to tell you Terrace Marshall Jr. is not a good idea.
No?
No.
Second round pick of a couple years ago?
Nope.
The thing I saw about Terrace Marshall quickly on this was that try not to let it annoy me, but sometimes it'll annoy me when, hey, Terrace Marshall got cut, and here's Tom Pelissero tweeting about how Terrace Marshall
got cut. Such a good camp.
Like, the former second round pick, man, he had a good camp. Like, really? Yeah. The second round pick of 2 years ago. Yeah, he must have had a great camp if he's out here getting cut.
He lost his spot to Jalen Coker.
Because we all know that the second round picks always have a tough time making these final rosters.
If he had been cut earlier, he'd have been on the Bills. Chase Claypool, KJ Osborne, Terrace Marshall, he would have been here.
Yeah.
In camp.
They love to add former second round picks.
I think it's a good gamble to do that. Didn't pay off in this particular year. All those second round pedigree didn't pay off this year. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Coming up on the show today, we've got some Sabres stuff on the Jumbotron that's out there. That's pretty cool. And there's one better that bet big against the Bills. Did you see this?
I did see this, yeah.
It's pretty wild to think about.
It's wild.
How much this person bet and how much they're hoping to win on the Bills losing every road game. What a bet.
Yeah, it's a crazy bet.
It might be dead in week two. So we'll get to that as well. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
We understand going into games that if it's fourth and short and we're in plus territory or whatnot, we're probably going to go for it. That's our identity. That's all I've really known since I've been here. So sometimes it'll be 3rd and 7. We'll run a play only getting 5 yards. And in my head sometimes, why are we running this play? We're only probably going to get 5 yards on this. But the coaches, you know, they all know we're going for 4th down. So now I even know when it's 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, and we get called a play that's only designed to get 6 or 7 yards, it's because we're going to go for 4th down. So me as a player understanding that, it helps me out in certain situations because I'm not trying to, you know, if my route is at 5 yards, don't try to push it to 7 yards, just get the first down. Run the route at 5, catch it. If you don't get the first down, that's fine. We're going to go for 4th down.
Amon-Ra St. Brown laying out the Lions and how they do it, which brings in something that's mentioned on a broadcast all the time, one of my pet peeves. You know, if it's 3rd and 10, why don't you run to the sticks? Why'd you run short of the sticks? The answer is because they'll give you that. They'll give you 9. And if you're the Lions, you'll take 9 and say, we're going to go on 4th down.
Mm-hmm.
It's something they did all year long. And it did bite them in the championship game.
And this is the coach. If you want more 4th downs in the NFL, this is the man that needs to lead the charge. Not Brandon Staley. Brandon Staley was maybe... I don't know.
A poser.
He was a poser. That's a fourth down guy,
and then year two, he completely changed.
No. I don't even just the image. Like, what did people look? They looked at Brandon Staley and thought, oh, look at this nerd.
That's right. And with Dan Campbell.
You call him a nerd.
Yeah, true.
He'll throw that right back in your face. Can't call Dan Campbell that.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday on WGR. We'll talk with Sal coming up at 8, Joe Marino at 7:30. This Bills roster, as we look at it, and, you know, a full training camp. It is kind of funny. Like, the third preseason game, nobody made it off of that. Nobody. Frank Gore Jr., no. Anthony Brown, of course, no. Ben DiNucci waived. Deion Kane, no.
Yeah, did anybody finish the job
in the third and final preseason game? Bill Belichick yesterday with Pat McAfee, I think, said about preseason that you cannot even evaluate any position, maybe quarterback, but not even really, on preseason games. He's like, there's more to look for in practice than there is in these preseason games.
Yeah, I think I count four players that played in Saturday's game that made the 53-man roster.
Is it kickers?
Oh, I didn't count kickers. Okay, so maybe it gets up to seven. The four that I count are, I don't think anybody on offense. Oh, I'll have to go to linemen, because I'm sure a couple of the linemen made it too, but I only count Joe Andreessen, Eddie Ulofosio, Jamarcus Ingram, and Javon Solomon.
And isn't that
That's it. And then the kickers, and then, right, maybe there's a couple linemen.
That's just
too.
You've got to play guys. And for guys like Solomon and Ulofosio, you're just getting them reps. And Dreesen, if he made it on the strength of the second game, not the third.
Right. Yep.
8 days. 8 days from the start of the season.
The third preseason game is also probably only temporary at this point anyway, because the moment they go to 18 games, aren't they going to
get rid of two preseason games?
They're going to go down to two preseason games.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Or even maybe one. I don't know.
Yesterday on the afternoon show, Mike Shope was on, and he did a segment. Bulldog was off, I believe. And he did a segment that I liked, which is, it was a bit of an optimist's segment, which people called and said, like, all right, if you think that what they're doing at receiver is going to work, if this is all looking good to you, explain, you know, tell us why. Why do you think it's going to work? And there are a bunch of good calls and, you know, optimist take versus just different ways to look at it, because some are bullish on how this receiver group will work and others are, well, terrified. I would put myself as, I mean, you know how I'm obsessed with getting Josh Allen the best possible weapons he can get. I wouldn't say I'm terrified. I'm skeptical. I'd say that. I'm skeptical about their ability to be the kind of team that I think they need to be. But at the same time, the timeline is different of what they want to be. Uh-huh. This is a team that traded its best receiver to a competitor that they are in direct competition with. And then in the draft, traded their top asset to their chief rival. You made two trades this year with the Chiefs and the Texans, and I almost wanted to make a small joke yesterday. And then you made a trade with the Jets, but you know,
you're getting the player.
You did
there.
Get the player in that deal, so whatever. So
it was that is funny. They made three trades though this offseason, and it was with all three AFC contenders.
Yeah, right. They're probably their three biggest contenders.
Sure.
They made a trade with. I mean, the Jets one is quite easily forgivable. It's a return guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on some level, you know, if we're sitting here like, oh, the guy they traded away is no good, one of your chief competitors thinks he is, and he's going to play for them quite a bit. So, you know, making a trade in a year like that is a short-term year. It's the kind of thing you would do in fantasy football and say, like, it's not my year to win it, so I'm going to trade this guy wherever. He's old. I'll take a first-round pick for this guy in fantasy. And then I'll live to be better for it long-term. Short-term I won't be, but long-term I will. Okay.
The optimist view for me would be all about Coleman. That's it. It's got to come down to Coleman. All the last month of, is Claypool a lottery ticket guy? And, hey, what about KJ Hamler? And look at the camp Shavers is having. And is MVS going to make the roster? To me, like, all of it is really, at the end of the day, I mean, it's all, what is it a lottery ticket for? A lot of it is for insurance that Coleman isn't it. Like, if Keon Coleman and health, you know, also provides itself throughout the season. If you stay healthy and Keon Coleman shows up and can produce as a rookie, I don't need anybody behind the top three, right? I don't even really need Mac Hollins that much, I don't think. if Coleman proves he can do a little bit of everything, blocking and some of the dirty work. Like Valdes-Scantling, like I'm not impressed at all. I don't expect much from him if he ever has to play, but he might not have to play. If Coleman is good right away, they've got their guys that are going to be on the field. And to me, like, that would be the optimistic view of it is I'm not really worried about their overall receiver room if Coleman is pretty good. I like Samuel and I like Shakir as football players. Like, I'm not really questioning their ability out there. So that's the way I get there is I'm not a big Coleman guy, which is kind of where my pessimism comes in about the team is I don't know how much I want to bet on him coming in and being good right away, but that's all it takes for me. That's all it takes. If Coleman's good and they stay healthy, like they're probably going to be relatively the same team.
The same team.
Relatively the
sure,
same
sure.
team. Sure, sure. Relatively. I wouldn't want to say exactly the same because I don't think you can just lose a 150 target receiver and not feel it at all.
Well, one
thing, you have to feel it a little bit.
A common refrain, I listened yesterday to an AFC East Breakdown podcast, and the most common refrain you're going to hear, I mean, Josh Allen is the star of the show. We all know that. And today in Sports Illustrated, they revealed how the NFL player poll that we brought up yesterday has him as the most overrated quarterback, but they also rated him fourth, which just means we think he's fourth, not second, which is, you know, how overrated works. But I guess one of the things I would ask is this. If you are someone that thinks, hey, as long as they have Josh, they're going to be fine. I tend to agree with that. As long as they have Josh, they should win a lot of games.
Yep.
Should the GM think that? Should the person that constructs the team have the opinion, as long as we have Josh, we'll be fine?
Well, it depends. Like, what's the context provided? Because
just that,
he's not looking at it in a one-year window only, right? Does he think, as part of that, like, he does think that. Like, hey, the quarterback is so good, we'll be fine no matter what. So then I could take more hits this year and go all in and build a super team again for 2 years from now.
That's a great answer. Because that to me, that is the needle that I would most likely believe they are threading.
Right. Versus like, would it be different if Allen wasn't as good as he is? If you had a quarterback like Kirk Cousins or something, do you feel like you can take an off year? Do you feel like as confident that you can do that? That you can say, hey, we're going to give this guy less for this 1 year so that we can go all in on giving him everything in 2 years. I wonder. Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you wouldn't do that if you had a middle of the road or even a pretty good starting quarterback in the league. But you might feel more open to doing it because, hey, I'm going to win 10 games anyway.
That's
with Josh in there. Right. So
this is a comparison to the Chiefs. When the Chiefs decided to, all right, we're going to have a bit of a transition year. They had just, you know, gone to back-to-back Super Bowls, and it's time to transition. As long as we have Mahomes, we'll be fine.
Right.
That's the closest thing to it. People say this about how many teams? They say it about the Chiefs, the Bills, the Bengals. As long as you've got blank, you'll be fine. How many quarterbacks get that treatment? Baltimore should. I mean, Lamar's win-loss when he plays in the regular season. As long as he plays, they should win 10 games.
Yep.
Anybody else? Who gets that? Who gets, as long as you've got this guy, you'll be fine? I don't think Stroud or Jordan Love get that yet because they've only had one good year.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of Mahomes and Burrow and Allen and Lamar, you have consistently, if they play, this team's going to win 10 games.
And that's probably the end of the list.
Right now, it might be the end of the list. Dak? Sure, I might want to give you Dak, but he's never giving the credit that way.
Right. No, he's not given. No.
You're not saying that about Tua.
Nope.
Rodgers, you might say that about Aaron Rodgers.
But it's been
long enough where there's a little bit of doubt there.
5 years ago, I would have absolutely said it about Aaron Rodgers.
But I like the way you said that. Long term, sure, it's okay to think that. That means I know I can take medicine when I need to, and it won't get too sideways.
Right.
Because what that does, Joe, is that carves out for me the spot where I live, which is, I'm good with a lot of what the Bills have done.
In the
interest of course, pretty soon turning and spending and doing the things that they have been doing to great success. It's why the only thing that really gets me upset is if anybody tries to tell me that what they're doing now is exactly what they want to do. How could anyone ever believe that when they have $62 million in dead cap? Do they want to have $62 million in dead cap? Of course not.
All right.
And if they didn't have that, they'd spend that elsewhere. So, I like your answer. Anybody else have an answer like that? A nuanced answer? An easy answer? You want the GM? Should the Bills be operating like, as long as we've got him, we're fine? Because think about LeBron in Cleveland. I get an email. I should read. I should read this to you about LeBron.
Yeah.
I got an email overnight from a listener that compared the Bills right now to the Cavs with LeBron. And I don't necessarily agree with this fully, but Steve from Lockport wrote in, it feels like Allen is spinning his wheels because the team hasn't put enough star power around him to win. Fairly obvious the Bills have needed to add talent to the receiver room. Instead, they've only subtracted this year, perhaps substantially, until Bean's willing to give up some draft capital and or salary to add more star power on the offensive side. The Bills are destined to come up short like the Cavs during LeBron's first term.
Or even his. I thought he was going to go for the most recent example in Cleveland. His last year there, LeBron's last year in Cleveland, Kyrie left. His number one star talent left. And it was just him. It was just.
And I'm sure you said.
But what happened? They made the finals.
Right.
They got swept. Because the Warriors had four, and he had one by himself. But also, J.R. Smith forgot to score.
right.
But like that, even that last year in Cleveland, it was kind of this, like, hey, we had kind of a super team, or close to it, but the second best player and a couple other pieces left, so now I'm kind of on my own here, but I'm LeBron, we're going to the finals anyway.
Yep.
But so, they didn't win.
Thanks, Steve from Lockport, for that email. I thought it was an interesting point. Good to bring up. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Jeremy and Joe, I have a quick golf idea for you that I saw.
Okay.
Played in a scramble over the weekend. I don't know what the winning score was. Do you think cheating in scrambles is rampant?
We talked about this actually on Monday because I also had a scramble this weekend, and Josh brought up cheating in scrambles. I don't think I've ever had cheating in scrambles.
What was the winning score? Like, what's a...
The winning score for a four-person scramble?
A four-person scramble.
Four under.
I mean, that...
I don't know.
That's not even close to low. I've been at scrambles where 22 under wins.
I've never done... I've done... The one scramble I do every year is either two- or three-person scrambles. Okay. So...
Well, I saw someone complaining about this, someone in the golf community complaining about this and saying, we need, as a society, some sort of very strict rule about cheating in scrambles. And the suggestion was, if any team wins by five or more strokes, they have to go play three holes in front of the entire party.
I've seen this in action, actually.
Really?
These guys did a two-man scramble and claimed they shot like 15 under. And then they were like, okay, let's see it.
Yeah.
And they went out there and both of them like shot eights on the first hole with the scramble. So
it's kind of a prove you were actually this good.
It's just, it's a little system in place where you just know... If we write this score down and we went, they're going to make us go out and play a hole. We shot a 51. That's 21 under.
Yeah.
They're going to make us go out to 18 and prove it. We have to birdie.
Yeah.
Or maybe eagle.
But then you would tank the final hole to get only up by four.
But then you wouldn't. Well, you wouldn't know the scores.
Oh, okay. Right.
Or maybe just be, no matter who wins the scramble, they have to go to the 18th and prove it.
Yeah.
And then everybody votes. All right. Fine. Believable.
Yeah.
Then you just have the whole of your life, though, on 18.
You could also... Brian called in when we were talking about this on Monday and said, this is why the two-man scramble is the best format.
Yes, because scores are modest as opposed to minus 28.
And also, you have another team playing with you right there the whole time.
Right, that's right.
So you're not cheating. You've got another team playing with you.
And, of course, some scrambles have where you can buy gimmies or buy mulligans, and that, of course, you know, lower scores. All right. 803-0550. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, 7:30 on the Bills roster construction. And we're chatting about it. 8 days out from the start of the NFL season on WGR.